Continue in our series, Blessed to Bless. Last Sunday, we looked at the story of Abraham. He was living in the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and God called him and said, all right, pack it up. Go to a country you don't know, for I'm going to do something big there. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. And we found out and looked at a number of different scriptures, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, but also then Galatians chapter 3, where it talks about Abraham and the seed of Abraham, and the seed of Abraham being the seed, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the blessing who has blessed us. And we in turn get to bless others. Probably in one of the most intense hours of his life, prior to going to the cross, was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think we can glean from that prayer and we can learn to more pray like Jesus. That's the theme, that's the title of the message this morning. So we're going to look at Luke 22, where he's meeting with his three disciples. Let's take a look at that. Luke 22, you can join me in your Bibles upstairs here. It's written in your bulletin as well. Starting with verse 39, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Let's pray. Lord, we can't even imagine how it was for you in that garden, knowing very well that you were about to accomplish the mission that you were called by your Father to do and to carry out. And just the agony that you went through there, we can't even understand what you went through. But give us a glimpse this morning of that time and help us to learn and glean from that to help us in the way we pray as your children. Teach us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is what we could call a model for prayer. There is another prayer that Jesus prayed that we pray at least once a month and more often than that, called the Lord's Prayer. We'll look at that here in a few moments. But we see, first of all, in this text, you see, first of all, that Jesus made prayer a priority, one of the first things he did. When he chose his disciples, when he chose the 12, first thing he did was prayed. Went off to a solitary place a number of times in Scripture, and specifically the Gospels, it talks about that Jesus went off to a solitary place, meaning he went to be alone with the Father, to pray, spend time, commune with God, his Father. And so that was very similar in the case here in the Garden of Gethsemane, moments before he would be taken, and then eventually to the cross days later. So he made prayer a priority. The first line in our text says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. So Jesus had a pattern of prayer. He went out as usual to to pray. So it wasn't foreign to him, of course, prayer. I mean, God had given him that gift. They who were around in the very beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the beginning of the world, that created the world. And we, it says in Genesis, were created in our image, meaning God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, three persons, one God. So Jesus knew that prayer was the way he communed with his Father. So as usual, he went to a place. And this particular place was the garden, which was on the Mount of Olives, just outside Jerusalem. Gethsemane was not a new place for him. It's a familiar place to commune with the Father. Where's that for you? Let me ask that this morning. Do you have a usual place, a place where you go that's familiar, where you spend time with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit? Where is that for you? What can we learn from Jesus and then practice in our own lives? It's this: build a consistent habit of prayer, I would say. I've struggled in my prayer life. Have you? Over time? I think it's one of those areas that the evil one attacks most. Now you can pray later. Does God really hear you? Does God answer prayer? So we need to develop a consistent habit of prayer and return often to that place of prayer, wherever that is. And know this, that if you don't have a usual place, you can pray any place, at any moment, of any time, any day, any hour, any second. You can send up, some have called them arrow prayers, where you just send up a short prayer. You know, God, help me. Probably the one he answers most. Jesus, I need you. Your prayer could be as simple as, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit helps there. He intercedes for you. With groans, it says, when you don't know what, you don't know how, what words to formulate on your mouth, on your tongue, but yet the Spirit of God knows your situation. He knows you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's around you. He knows. But prayer is a gift that is given us, and I believe God wants to hear us say those words back to him. And often it's scripture. It can be any place. So what else do we learn from Jesus? He invited others to pray. James, John, Peter, come with me. Spend some time in prayer while I go on. It says it's a stone's throw distance. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Jesus invited his disciples into the spiritual battle. We're all in a spiritual battle. Many of us struggle in our prayer lives. Why do we struggle so much? Number of reasons. You could probably list a few of them yourselves. We don't have to list them out loud. But I know it's interactive sometimes, but you don't have to list them out loud. But what are some of the reasons why we struggle so much in prayer? I'm too busy. I don't know what to say. Why should I pray when God knows what I'm going to say anyway? A Spiritual battle. There's things going on in the heavenlies that we don't see. Notice what Paul said about the battle. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the dark spiritual forces in the heavenlies. Yeah. There's a number of reasons why we don't pray. But I want to encourage you this morning to pray. What's the best way to learn how to pray? Pray. Even if you don't know what to say. Because I think God is up to something in prayer. It's not just that He wants you to talk to Him and Him to you. I think He's molding and shaping something in you. He's molding your character, and He's making you more like Him, like Jesus. There's something mysterious about prayer, yes. And sometimes in our prayer life we struggle because we pray and we believe that it hits the ceiling here and it comes back and it doesn't reach Him. That's not true. When you pray, it always reaches Him. Always. And He always hears. Where we struggle sometimes is the answer, isn't it? We want an answer to our prayer immediately. We're human. I like microwaves. I want my food now. We want the answer now, and we want the answer to be in our favor. You know, God knows all that we need, all that we desire. He knows what's best. And He's good. If He's good, we got to know that the answer that comes is going to be for our good. It has to be. Here's the same account recorded by Matthew. Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with Me." Going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from Me, yet not as I will, but as You will." Then He returned to His disciples, found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with Me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We're willing, and we know that the prayer is important. We know that it's even commanded, and God invites us into a life of prayer. We know this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, sometimes we don't know what to pray. In that moment, just say, "Jesus." This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans. He says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Spirit is constantly interceding for us, even when we don't know what to say or what to pray. So what can we learn from Jesus and pray like he prayed? Know that you can go to God through the Son, inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. The disciples struggled with prayer. They were human. Their flesh was weak. One day they came up to Jesus. Now it doesn't say this, but they probably thought it. We see Jesus going to the solitary place often. He went to the usual place, to the garden, somewhere in the Mount of Olives. He went to that place often. We see this because we follow him and we're with him all the time. We see him go off. Jesus, teach us to pray. And he said it this way. He answered them this way. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Begin with him. Recognize him. Honor him. Know that you can go to him. Our Father, who's in heaven. We want to make your name holy. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. For you know what we need. Lead us not into temptation. For our flesh is weak. Protect us from the evil one. Our Father in heaven, we approach God as our loving Heavenly Father, reminding us of our relationship with him and his nearness. Hallowed be your name. We honor God's holiness, setting his name apart in worship and reverence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We seek God's reign and purposes, not our own. It's a prayer of surrender to his perfect will. Give us this day our daily bread. We ask God to provide for our daily needs, trusting him as our provider. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We seek forgiveness from God and commit to extend forgiveness to others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask for protection from sin and evil, acknowledging our need for God's guidance and strength. That's what prayer is. That's how to pray. Prayer is personal. Pray to a personal God who cares for us and loves us and wants to spend time with us and wants to speak to us and wants to hear us. But it's also something we do as a family together. This is something that unites us as a family. Prayer. We are the body of Christ and we can join each other at the throne. When I think of that, I go, what? Wherever we are at any given moment, we can meet. We can actually meet at the throne of grace in prayer. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us, that's a family term, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us, there's that family word again, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that, Here's the result clause. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Are we needy? We're people, we're human, we're very needy. And we need God's grace and His mercy. And he tells us here we can approach Him anytime, any moment of any day, and cry out to Him and spend time with Him. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. How can we apply that to our lives? We're invited to be honest in prayer, but we also must yield our desires to God's perfect will. Often when I pray, I want my will to be done, not His. So God, help me in that. Help me to surrender to your will and your desires. Psalm 37 says, take delight in the Lord. We can do that. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. We can do that in prayer. He wants to hear from you and He wants to shape your character and mold and make you into more like His Son. We also see here that Jesus received strength through prayer, an angel from heaven. We saw that in the wilderness when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and temptations of Satan came, and we saw that an angel attended Him then and gave Him strength. We see it again. The angel came in the garden where He was struggling in His humanness. He was 100% God, 100% human. He was struggling. God, is there another way? He was asking. Is there another way? Take this cup from me. No. I know it's your will for me to do this, to walk through it. Give me the strength. And He sends an angel and to strengthen Jesus. Divine help was given after He had prayed in surrender. Strength doesn't always come from escape, but from endurance through God's help. You know, Rhonda and I were talking recently about a few individuals that are going through some really, really hard things. And it's at times like these when we think about those individuals. God, what can we do? Sometimes we feel helpless. We're not helpless. Sometimes we feel hopeless, but we're not hopeless. Sometimes the only thing you can do is pray. And then look for other ways to bless them. What does it mean to bless? We're blessed to bless. What does it mean? I don't know. We can bless with our time. Bless with our generosity. We can bless with our prayers. We can bless with a call, a text, a visit. We can bless with groceries. We can bless with, there are all sorts of ways to be a blessing. You're blessed to bless. What can we learn here? You can expect God to strengthen you when you pray. You can pray with confidence and boldness because He has promised to hear you and to answer you, but maybe more than that, He promises His presence in prayer. He promises His presence and His love and His mercy. He may not remove the trial if you're going through a trial. He may not remove the trial. But He promises this. He will walk with you through the trial. God never breaks His promises. I will be with you always. I will walk through that storm you're in, or you will be, you have the guarantee that I will be with you and walk with you and strengthen you. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep because they were exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation. For the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing." Jesus returned to encourage them. Even in anguish, Jesus remained a shepherd, calling his disciples to remain alert. He calls us the same. Calls to us the same. On January 30, 1930, Frank Laubach set out to transform his prayer life. And he patterned his prayer life. He said, "There's got to be something better for me in the way I pray. I'm struggling in my prayer life." So Frank thought about a little book he had read. It was called Practicing the Presence of God from Brother Lawrence. He was a Carmelite monk who hundreds of years ago set out to be aware of God's presence in his life at every moment of every day. And in fact, he was peeling potatoes in the kitchen as a monk, and they were taking care of the kitchen duties. He was peeling potatoes, and he was saying, "Oh God, thank you for potatoes. Thank you for that I can do this to help out and to serve you and to serve my fellow monks." And he was acknowledging. So Frank said, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to set out to remember at least every minute to acknowledge the Lord." And here's how he did it. Remember I mentioned arrow prayers? This is how Frank did it. Every person he would see, literally, every person that he would see out and about, whether he was driving or walking or getting groceries or going to the store, whatever, every person that he would see, he would send up a prayer, not out loud, but between him and God. He actually called it he shot people. Don't do that with a gun, no. He shot people with prayer. And not every person, but often, this is kind of weird, but often the person walking down the street and Frank's behind him and he shot him a prayer, "God, would you move in such a way to transform that heart and life? In Jesus' name." The person would look behind them and look at him. You know, maybe keep going. Didn't happen every time. But how would that change your prayer life? We all struggle. But how would that change your prayer life if, you don't have to do it to everybody, but often, on a regular basis, "Jesus, would you touch that person? And then, Jesus, if there's a way that I can be a blessing to that person, help me do that." What would happen? I don't know. Prayer's a gift. It's mysterious. We don't know what to pray sometimes. He's going to help with that. It's a way to communicate with the one who created you. It's sometimes difficult, but the best way to learn how to pray is to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the one that helps us with prayer. You've given us the gift of prayer. And sometimes we don't know what to pray. But in those moments, God, would you help us to cry out, whether it be out loud or in our heart, and just say, "Jesus," or "Jesus, help me." And help us to look with new eyes to those around us. We know that our neighbor, we're to love them, to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but we're also to love our neighbor. God, would you help me love my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? It's the one right in front of me. Help me to do that. Help us all to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask